Welcome to No Longer Conformed, my online preaching and teaching ministry. We're studying the book of Matthew, the first gospel. In this session, we'll be looking at Matthew chapter 12, verses 46 to 50. Welcome to the family. Let's read that passage, those verses. Matthew 12, beginning with verse 46. While he was still talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and his brothers stood outside, seeking to speak with him. Then one said to him, "Look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside, seeking to speak to you." But he answered and said to one who told him, "Who is my mother? And who are my brothers?" And he stretched out his hand toward his disciples and said, "These are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." At first glance, Jesus' response to his mother and brothers seems strange. Why would he treat him that way? Rude? Disrespectful? These are Jesus' own blood family, desiring to spend time with him. A closer look reveals something else. Something important for every believer to learn. To understand a passage of Scripture, you must pay attention to what's going on around it. It's context. Verse 46 informs us that he was still talking to the multitudes. Jesus was right in the middle of teaching to the people when his mother and brothers showed up. They knew what he was doing. It was obvious that he was involved in the work of his ministry. So what is going on here? Well, a request and a response. First of all, Jesus' family requested to speak with him. Verses 46, 47. While he was still talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and brothers stood outside seeking to speak with him. Then one said to him, "Look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you." This was Jesus' mother. These were Jesus' brothers, his actual siblings, half-brothers by blood, not cousins or Joseph's children from another marriage, like the Roman Church has taught over the centuries. All the Gospels mention them. Matthew and Mark give names. Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? That's Matthew 13, verse 55. And Mark 6:3 records the same. They later became believers, probably after the resurrection. In Acts 1:14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. They later became evangelists, traveling in ministry. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 5, the Apostle Paul says, "Do we have no right to take along a believing wife? As do also the other apostles, the brothers of the Lord, and Cephas." And they later became prominent in the church. Galatians chapter 1, verse 19, the Apostle Paul says, "But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother." But at this point, Mary pondered, and the brothers did not believe. John chapter 7, verse 5, "For even his brothers did not believe in him." They came as blood family do, expecting Jesus to stop what he was doing and attend to their request. They wanted to spend time with him on their schedule. Someone told Jesus of their request, and he responded. So let's look at that. Second, Jesus' family experienced his response to them. Verses 48 to 50. But he answered and said to the one who told him, Who is my mother and who are my brothers? And he stretched out his hand toward his disciples and said, here are my brother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my mother and brother and sister. Experience is the right word here, because when I say Jesus' family experienced his response to them, experience is the right word here because Jesus let them know that everything has now changed in him. But he was not repudiating his earthly blood family at all. That's very clear. While he was on the cross, John chapter 19, verses 26 and 27, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. And then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his home. He was emphasizing at that moment his priorities before the Father. Jesus' mothers and brothers were assuming that they have the right to interrupt the Lord's work simply because they're family. Jesus was establishing that the Father's work is more important than that of the world. The issue is not simply interruption. Jesus was always ready to stop and meet a need along the way, even right in the middle of teaching. For example, the paralyzed man that was let down through the roof, and many that were brought to him that needed healing. They could wait to speak to him. Jesus was establishing that in the Father's world, spiritual blood is much thicker than physical blood. Who is my mother? And who are my brothers? He stretched out his hands toward his disciples and said, here are my mother and my brothers. Why was he taking such a strong position? He was emphasizing the supremacy of spiritual relationships, the eternality of those relationships. Everything changes when a person receives Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Before salvation, my blood family was primary. Once born again, my physical birth and all associated with it becomes secondary. John chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I love my old, unsaved, physical blood family. But my spiritual family is now the priority. How does this translate over to the church and Christians today? It's simple. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I understand that you may not have the role in the family of authority over those in the house. You know, Christian wives with unbelieving husbands, or Christian husbands with wives who stand in the way. But you always have authority over your own life before God. Suffering does not excuse you from spiritual responsibility. Explain and teach your children why church activities are important and require them to go. Make a commitment to be a part of church activities and bring your family. Don't use them as your excuse not to be involved. You give that some thought, and you have a great day.